Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So as you tune in week to week, I do hope that my guests and I provide tips, tools, and strategies for you to implement immediately on your quest or on your navigation of change, whatever that is for you. But I hope as you tune in each week that, of course, for me, that I'm helping you improve your sales, grow your business, increase your client base, whatever it is, okay? Now, if you're loving the show and you're listening via YouTube, please, please subscribe, comment, 5-star rating would be wonderful. And of course, if you're on Apple Podcasts and you do a rating and review, I just love that. And I actually go and read the comments. I am a dork, and I actually respond to the comments as well. So please, please, I would appreciate the love and support on those venues. So, of course, my motivational quote today I have to share with you is by Mariam Hasna. I don't know if I said that right. And this is what she says. Love yourself. Be clear on how you want to be treated. Know your worth. Always. Now, do you know the difference between self-care and self-love? And you may be asking, is there a difference or does it even matter? Well, guess what? They both matter and they're both needed to reduce stress and live a life you love. So are you ready to learn about each of these topics and able to implement some of these strategies that my guests and I are going to talk about? And for me, it's immediate. As soon as you end listening to the show, I hope that you start applying the strategies that my guests and I are going to discuss. So today, it's my friend, Sophia McMorris. And Sophia is a certified professional transformational life coach, owner, and the CEO of Wisdom Speaks Life. Now, her clients hire her to help them create and implement their one-page secret success strategy plan for an integrated, harmonious, fulfilling life. Now, Sophia has a Bachelor of Science and has spent the last 20 years as a homeschool teacher, which I think is amazing. And today, Sophia offers an array of coaching programs and services from private one-on-one coaching to group coaching programs. So please help me welcome my wonderful friend, Sophia, to the show. So, Sophia, thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is an important topic, and I don't know about you, but since COVID hit, the amount of Zoom time that we're spending, because right years ago, if we had a client meeting or a client lunch or whatever, you built in time to commute in case there was traffic. So we had more downtime or even just being in the car with our thoughts. Now I'm finding I go from one Zoom meeting to the next, sometimes not even scheduling a bathroom break. So I think the self-care, the self-love is more important than it's maybe ever been. I don't know. Are you finding that with your clients?
Yes, definitely. And also what I find is that there is a confusion between the self-care and the self-love. And so, you know, I always try to clear that up for clients because a lot of them will tell me I can do the self-care part really well. You know, I do have time to, you know, where I, you know, take a bath or get a new outfit or try to eat healthily. But what ends up happening is that they don't do the self-love part, which is a little bit different. Because I like to say that self-care is born from self-love. It is not, and both are needed in order to have a happy and fulfilling life.
Do me a favor. So let's talk. So wait, you just said self-care comes from self-love, correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why don't we start with the self-care piece, okay. Right? Or, yeah. Well, I guess we should talk about the self-love piece because you said we're good at self-care, but not so much at self-love. So let's talk about the self-love first, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So the self-love, the way I see self-love is that you would practice self-compassion, self-empathy, and self-kindness. And your self-kindness is your self-care. So what they tend to do is to leave out the other two parts. And the reason I think this happens is that we have some of us have more than others that negative self-critic. And that chatter is always going on, you know, especially when you make a mistake or when you fail at something. And we don't know how to lovingly love ourselves into that place and practicing that self-compassion. So we're not allowing the negative critic to always run us down. And, you know, and then we go and do self-care and we do feel happier or better for the moment, but it's still there. And so what I like to talk to people about is to really work on changing that inner self-critic to, you know, becoming your best friend. So that way you now practice self-compassion the way you would if you had a friend that was in the same situation. They had a failure. They made a mistake. Something terrible happened to them. There's a way that we can empathize with other people and treat them kindly and care for them, but we don't do it for ourselves.
It's true. And I call it the negative record player. And we all have it, right? It's somebody compliments you and you immediately go, oh, I thought I was having a bad hair day. Or somebody reaches out to you and says, hey, I'd love for you to speak at a summit. And immediately that self-talk is, well, why me? I don't. You sure I'm a fit? I might not have anything to say. What topic do you want me to talk on? I don't think I could do that, right? That whole imposter syndrome, I think, is part of this as well, right? That whole negative crap that we all have in our head. So talk to me about what do you find? Let's start with this. So we understand the difference between self-love, self-care. What do you find with your clients seems to be the biggest struggle? And is it all over the place or do you find certain patterns?
I think the certain pattern is where they're really in that negative self-critic space, and they're beating themselves up a lot about the things that are happening to them. Because I think we just get programmed like that from the time we were, you know, children growing all the way up, you know, because, you know, statistics says that 95% of our time that we spend is in our subconscious. So whatever is there is what comes out of us. It, you know, it's already in there. So I try to let them know that you have to go and be willing to do the inner work and then take care of yourself in that place and then lay a foundation of, you know, you're changing your beliefs and those type of things. So then when you start speaking to yourself, you're speaking what you want to speak to yourself and what you want that's going to be positively impacting your life versus all the negativity, you know, that you picked up from somewhere else.
And it's interesting. I did a show a while back and I always do a little research sometimes to do stats depending on the topic, right? And the stats they gave is like we have something like 64,000 thoughts a day, humans, right? Mm-hmm. Of those 64,000, it was like 80% or like 47,000 were negative. Yeah. And of the recurring thoughts from day to day to day, 90% of our thoughts are recurring. And then you, so now you have that 80% of the thoughts reiterating and reiterating and every day. And this is where that those negative record players come from, because it's very hard to shift that paradigm of thinking to think positively, right? And I could imagine that you see that with your clients.
Yes. I mean, you really have to do some inner work and really, and part of the thing that happens is while those thoughts are, I like to, you know, say like they're passing by your mind, you know, learn not to come into agreement with them. Mm. So when somebody gives you that compliment and said, oh my goodness, you look so nice today. And you're like, oh me, I just threw on this old blouse or something, you know, and you see that happening. If you can catch it even before it escapes your mouth, then you can say, oh no, thank you so much for giving me that compliment. And then you go back into this other space. But you have to practice. It's a habit that you have to form until it becomes part of the subconscious. So you automatically do it. Somebody gives you a compliment. Thank you so very much. You look very good as well. Or, you know, or say something positive, you know, and keep it moving. But yeah, I think we tend to, you know, if we don't have it ingrained in ourselves, we tend to just allow whatever is there to pop right out.
You know, and it's fascinating. You know, like myself, we've been on workshops together. That's how Sophia and I met. We've never met in person, actually, which is so funny. But we immediately connected and said, "Oh, we need to stay in touch." And I did a workshop recently, and I'm going to do these live workshops monthly. And so the first one I did, my marketing person at the end, you have to debrief, right? Because you want to make whatever I put out there. I want it to be a really good reflection of me. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, right? That I don't want to just throw crap out in the world. I want to help people. So as soon as we finished, my marketing person who was running the back end and reading the chats to me and all of that, she said, "You did a really crappy job of promoting yourself right out of the gate. I did my intro. Hey, I'm Connie Whitman, you know." And I'm like, "Really?" And she goes, "Like, it was like a minute long." She said, "You didn't even set yourself up for authority." Thank goodness a lot of the people on the call knew who I was. She goes, "But what if people didn't know who you were?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, I'm not good at that." Which now Sophia is hysterical, right? Because I'm really good at sales, because I'm really good at building relationship and connections and serving whatever I have that can help you. I'm really good at that. So I get a lot of sales. I'm not good at promoting myself because I feel like, oh, I'm bragging. They're going to think I'm a big fat jerk and I don't want to come across as braggadocious. So I'm good at sales for helping people. I'm not good at it doing it for myself because right. I think people are going to think I'm a big jerk, right? So it's our own self-talk. And what we're talking about, guys, my listeners, what Sophia and I are talking about, this is not easy stuff, man, right? I'm working on it. I know Sophia's working on it. This isn't like, oh, let's flip the switch and we've got this. It's just right. not how it works, right? Uh-huh. Now, what is one unique dose of wisdom? You talk because your business is wisdom driven, right? What is your one unique dose of wisdom? Give people an idea of like what you're all about.
Well, for me, I like to say that self-love is our superpower, and freedom and abundance are our birthright. Mm-hmm. And to add to that, is really do unto yourself as you would want others to do unto you, or as you would do unto others.
And we're bad at that.
Yes. So that's the thing. And so we have to turn it around. I talk to people about really owning whatever it is. Let this become what you think. What is your truth about this? Because a lot of times we hear a lot of things in society that this is how we're supposed to behave towards other people. And you're supposed to be kind and nice and give them compliment and tell them all these other wonderful things about themselves. But you're not supposed to say that to yourself, because then you'll be like you're bragging or you're doing all this other stuff. So I had a group of ladies that I was talking to, and I was just like, I practice a me first philosophy. And they were like, "Well, what's that?" And I was like, I was just like, me first. It's absolutely most important that I get my cup filled up, because if my cup is not filled and overflowing, I said, and I don't have anything to give to you. And so in order for me to be able to give to somebody else, I need to have my cup filled and overflowing, and they get out of the overflow. Therefore, I'm never depleted from, you know, having my own stuff. So I know how to, you know, deposit into my own self. And we all have to learn how to deposit that love, you know, into yourself, so that you are practicing self-compassion for yourself on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not just really just relying on somebody else to do it. And if nobody else does it, then you feel, you know, terrible and bad.
Well, it's just like the caregiver, right? So if you have someone, you're the caregiver for them, they're getting all of this care and being taken care of. Meanwhile, you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you're running around, you're doing everything. You deplete yourself. And oftentimes the caregivers are the ones who can die first or become severely ill as well, because they're not filling their soul with what they need, because they're giving every ounce of energy to the person in need. So you really, this is serious what we're talking about. And if you live a life like that, where you're constantly depleting yourself, you're good for nobody, especially not yourself. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, that leads to burnout. Yeah. And burnout is a very real thing. I mean, like, it's like medically diagnosed, where you have mental and physical and emotional exhaustion, and then you're like, no good. You have to go recuperate someplace. And so, you know, because you keep saying yes and yes and yes to everything, and you're doing and you're doing and you're giving and you're giving, but then you're not spending any time to give to yourself. And then you get out of balance, whether it's work or relationship, where the other person person is getting everything and you're not really reciprocating or sure. getting anything back. So I had to change my own story and says, you know what? I'm a giver that receives. So not just, you know, somebody who's constantly give, because it was always, oh, I'm happier if I just give to everybody else and they feel really good and everything like that. So, you know, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. When do I receive? You know, you wait around. And then nothing happens. So you have to learn to give to yourself. And like that quote, you really have to know what your worth is. So that way you can ask for what you want.
Yeah. What got you into this field? Because, you know, you have the BS and you have a background in sociology, correct?
Yeah. That was political science.
Political science. And yeah. So how did you get into this field?
Well, this field, because I had my own personal struggles. I struggled with my weight for a long time. I'm originally from Jamaica, and it felt like once I got here, it just started piling on, and I would try different things to lose weight. You know, the diet was different. I wasn't as active as I was when I was in Jamaica. We'd walk everywhere. You know, so things were different. And so I just, for years and years, and even into my adulthood, I started, you know, just having the same cycle. I would lose weight and gain weight and lose weight and gain weight. And I would have to go on all kind of fasting programs and all kinds of stuff. I tried all different diets to really try to take care of the problem. But one day I discovered that it really wasn't about the symptoms, is what I would call it. The weight was a symptom of something deeper. And I really needed to learn to understand myself, learn my own story. What's that thing that's going, what is it that I'm believing, why I'm in this consistent cycle? Mm. And once I was able to get a hold of that, really understanding myself, discovering my own story, and then being able to switch that on that plane, then I was able to lose weight. And after that, I mean, it was so bad that I even thought about the gastric bypass. I signed up, and the only reason why I didn't get it was because it took too long. They were like 6 months in, and I'm still waiting around. And I'm like, really? They didn't schedule my surgery yet? So I was like, I just need to do something. And so I went on this journey. And so that's when I discovered, you know, my soul, my own story, what I was saying, well, all the things that was going on within myself. And then I was able to transition. So I started dieting again, and I was able to lose 100 pounds.
That's fabulous.
Yes, yes. And so I was just like, oh my goodness. It's just, you know, that is the key to really switching gears. So that's why I started sharing that with everybody. Like, listen, I know what the problem is. You know, it's like we take care of a lot of symptoms, you know, because we see things and we say, okay, it must be that. And we don't see the inner workings and how much it affects us, our belief, whatever emotional experiences we've had, you know, whatever habits that comes out of that, that we're performing every day. All of those things are key. And when we can change things at, like, I was almost say a cellular level in that subconscious mind, sure. in that heart belief, and then get rid of some of those things, put some new things in, then we have that opportunity to really start changing and transforming our lives.
So my listeners, I believe that we all, as we hear stories, we say, oh, that's me. Oh, that's my girlfriend. Oh, that's my sister. And if it's too personal and you don't want to answer, that is absolutely okay as well. What for you was that switch when you started to do the deep dive, because it was 6 months, right, to have the surgery, and you thought, wait a minute, this is craziness. Let me. And then you took that step. What was the aha moment where you thought, ah, that's what I need to work on? And then the rest falls into place. In essence, right, you were able to lose the weight and all of those other habits change. What was that first piece? Can you talk about that? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, for me, I was always praying. I was like, please, God, help me. You know, I was just always, I mean, seriously, like I had gotten to such a place where it was just like, oh my God, please, Jesus, can you help me? I need some, I need some help. And so I remember one day, like I sat down to meditate, you know, and in my sitting down to meditate, I read a quote, or, you know, I call it a quote because some people, you know, might be offended by a scripture verse or whatever. But either way, it says, you know, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. And the word soul just really stood out to me for the first time. And I had read that so many times. Mm. And I was just like, what is my soul? I started asking these questions. And then I did a deep dive into, and as I deep dived into, you know, finding out what my soul is, I started understanding that's myself. That's my own story. that's the way I think about things. That's my belief. That's my habits. Like all of these things, whatever my heart believe is what's moving me in the direction that I'm being moved. And until I take care of this, I can't really, you know, move the way I want to do. I can't really, you know, live my dreams and be the person that I know that I could be. Because I always saw myself as this smaller girl. And so it was so crazy to me, like when people took pictures of me and would show it to me, I would say, no, that's not me. And they were like, what do you mean? That is you. And I said, no, because that is not the way I see myself. And then, you know, we almost have a fight over the picture. And I mean, I knew it was me because they took a picture of me, but that's not how I saw myself on the inside. So that girl was really trying to come out.
Wow.
And so I needed to find a way to help her to be that person, you know, to really actually emerge and to live in that place where she felt good and felt confident and felt, you know, loved.
That's so beautiful. And because you went through it, right? And then you start talking to other people and they're like, yeah, 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 same thing for me. And then all of a sudden, that's where you transitioned and thought, wait a minute, I need to start a business. Wait a minute, I need to be out there coaching and helping people for them to do that transformation, because everyone should live their soul purpose. Everyone should be thriving in abundance, right? It's not just, you know, for Connie Whitman and Sophia McMorris, right? It's for everybody. So
absolutely,
you're trying to be the conduit to help people do that. What's the one thing you're most excited about now that you're on this journey, you know, being a small business owner and all those things? What are you most excited about?
Well, I'm really excited about just really bringing like my course. I'm presently working on my course, and I have like the first part, the Secret Success Strategy Plan, that's actually been created. And so I'm excited. I'm going to be in a summit in November.
Yay.
And so thank you. So excited to put that, to launch that right there. You know, I'm going to put that as an offer so people, you know, can hop in if they want to pick that up and just really learn how to start discovering themselves and create a plan for their lives so that they can start moving their lives forward.
Yeah. So this show's recorded. So when we say November, it's November of 2020. So you people in the future, just know that we're in November, you know, 2020 that Sophia's talking about. It's just so funny because people think November of 2021. No. We're in 2020. That's so funny. But yeah, that's important. So and it's so funny because with COVID, right, in 2020, COVID's the big talk of the town, that we are creating more of these digital stuff, workshops, whatever, so we could get it out to more people, not just in the people in our backyard, because we're exposing ourselves via Zoom or Skype or Google meetups or whatever it is. Who's your biggest hero?
I like to say, and see, I have like three, you know, on my list. So I would like God, my mom, and Les Brown. And the reason why I include Les Brown is because he, when I was at university, he gave a talk. And I remember leaving the talk and was so upset. I was just like, I felt like everybody was laughing and having a good time. And I was just like, what happens when the joke is no longer funny, you know, a week from now or a year from now or a month from now? I was like, what are the tools that we have to really move our lives forward? And so that spurred me on to become the solution, to be that person who now is going to find the solution. And so that started really early, but that actually led me to the place where now I understood what needed to happen at the cellular level in order for us to really move our lives forward. And so I'm grateful for having that experience, even though, you know, it wasn't like, yay, he had such a raving talk and I loved it, because I did enjoy his talk. But mine was, I wanted skills. I want the tools. I want to know how to fix this, you know. And so that spurred me to become the answer.
But see, it starts somewhere, you know, and Les Brown, he's a great speaker and he uses humor and he tells wonderful stories. That's his superpower, you know?
Yeah.
So you wanted to be, well, what's my solution, right? What's my sole purpose? And it's funny, when I was going to school, I think it was for my MBA, it could have been undergraduate, I don't remember, it was so long ago now. And I had to do a paper, a thesis, whatever it was for the class, and we had to do research. So yes, Sophia, I'm dating myself. I had to go to the library and look up the references. We didn't have the internet back in the dinosaur days. You know how that goes, right? Anyway, I went and I did all this research and I came across Zig Ziglar. And I read this book on whatever the topic was that I was doing the research on. And it was like, all of a sudden, everything made sense to me. And I thought a whole, and you know, my undergraduate and graduate degrees are finance, right? So business. So he was a brilliant businessman, but he also had that heartfelt kind of perspective with business and not a tyrant. And it was all about the money. That's not who Zig Ziglar was, right? He was truly an inspirational thought leader, I think, of the world. And right. So all of a sudden I read his stuff and I thought, this is me. I have to do this. I have to become in the business world a thought leader. I have to lead by example. I have to lead through this heartfelt kind of perspective. And then I ended up falling into sales, and I took the same premise, right? You live and you serve through love. And so no matter who the customer was in front of me, I treated them as if they were family. And what was the best information? How could I educate them to empower them? My topic was finance, right? So he had this pivotal moment. And then, of course, I read everything he ever wrote because it's like he spoke to me directly. And that's what Les Brown did, where you thought, wait a minute, I understand this, but what if and what about? And that's where you wanted to pick up the pieces.
I wanted to know what's the middle piece.
Totally.
Because a lot of times we tell the story where he's like, I was here and then I got to this place. You know, I could say, well, I was, you know, really overweight and obese and then I lost weight and now I'm over this side. But we don't talk about the middle.
That's
right. And I think the middle is so important because that's where you become the person who's going to live at that goal, who's going to really be able to achieve and live in that space. And we don't think about that because there's a becoming that happens from point A to point B, which is why the Secret Success Strategy Plan is that you get that journey in the middle, in that becoming of the person that you've always known you could be.
Yeah. And it's funny because even with my business, I've always, when I meet the client for the first time, this is what I say, well, we're going to start at the end. And they look at me and I say, I have to understand what is your corporate culture, your vision, your corporate strategy. What do you want your employees to be doing? When we fast forward into the future, what behaviors do you want to see? Then, okay, great. We have that picture, right? Snapshot. Where are we in reality now, right? There's the gap, exactly what you just said. Well, on that bridge, right? On the bridge to bring you from point A to point B. So you're the solution. You become the solution, not just, oh, I was there, now I'm here. Well, how did you do that, right? And then, then you know, we could talk theoretically and all of that, but what's my next step? And that's where you come in. You're literally the steps to get from point A to point B. We're almost out of time, but what was the best advice given to you that helped you through your tough times that you could share with my people?
Yeah, well, do what I need to do so I can do what I want to do. And so, like, we say that, you know, and I've heard, like, Oprah, she has a version of it. But in Jamaica, that was like, do what you need to do so you can do what you want to do. And so my mom would always, like, say that. So that's something that I incorporate because a lot of times things doesn't feel good to do it. So you have to be willing to say, I need to do what I need to do at this end because I see that reward over there. And so that way, when I get there, I can do what I want to do. And that's really be able to enjoy my life and really, you know, enjoy living my purpose. So for me, the journey has been a journey, you know, in order to become, start from where I didn't have a business to then launching a business. And then especially during these times, I launched February 1st. So online exclusively. So then right after that, you know, here we are, you know, in this space. So, yeah.
It's fascinating. Your timing was actually good. Okay. Which is so ironic, right? Because then everything, whoosh, everything went digital. And you were kind of like a step ahead of the rest of us who were just getting...
I didn't even know. Hilarious. February 1st, I read on my calendar was National Freedom Day. And I was like, oh, this is the day to launch because definitely I'm doing this towards living my own freedom.
Yeah, so, I love it. That's very intuitive too. And then COVID hit and you were like already a step ahead of everybody. So see read that on the calendar was very wise, my wise friends. We're almost out of time. My last question, share one of your personal habits that help you to be your best self that maybe people listening could start to implement today. What would that tip be?
Walking in nature. I walk in nature as often as I possibly can. And I have a philosophy or a mantra, if you want to call it. neither rain, hail, sleet, snow, or dark of night will keep me from doing that. Because one of the things that I recognize is that in that walking, I get to process my own self. I get to, you know, take a step back and really look at what I'm feeling and process out. Sometimes I'm talking out loud. People pass by me and they think I'm on my phone. But now we can get away with it, right? Because I don't look crazy.
Just have your Bluetooth in. Everybody thinks oh, she's on the phone.
Yeah, because that's what I do. I put it in and I put my headphones on. And so people think that I'm on my phone, but I'm just really having this conversation, just to really reason out what I'm feeling, what happened throughout the day. And then I just kind of revamp. And then by the end, I'm good. I'm good. I'm like, I feel relaxed. I feel stressed, you know, relieved, you know, and I'm just, you know, energized. And so that's one of my absolute things that I go to all the time.
Yeah, nature we know, right? It's almost, they say, when you go for a walk, like in the woods, I think it's Japanese or Chinese, the saying is that you're taking a nature shower, right? Because you're showering yourself with the oxygenation of the trees and all of the beauty that's surrounding you, right? So it's almost like you're washing yourself over with that element of peace. And then the funny thing is talking out loud. But yes. Sometimes I'll talk out loud to myself too. Say, what about this? And you say it out loud. It's like you're having a conversation with yourself. And all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Like you're telling yourself, yeah, that's a good idea. I think that's what you should do. So we could use ourselves as a sounding board and being out in nature. I think it slows our mind chatter down a little bit because we don't have computers and phones and laundry looking at us or whatever's in your house.
Right.
It quiets and allows you to go within to have that self-talk and figure out really what is that next step.
It's great for processing your feelings. You know, if you're angry about something or if you had a really rough day, you can, you know, talk to yourself. Why is it that you're feeling this way? Or I like to, you know, say baby girl Sophia. That's my other person. I was like, okay, what's going on? Why are you having a moment about this right now? You know, so then I talk to myself and, you know, it's like, oh, okay, so this is what happened and this is why you're feeling this way. And I'm like, it's okay. I love you. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be. But we need that, right? To say, we need somebody to say sometimes it's going to be okay and believe it, because here's the reality, right? Sophia, and I know you've seen this. Everything works out, and everything works out the way it's supposed to be, because the universe really conspires to give us what we need. Might not be what we think we need, but it always conspires to give us what we need. And it's our right to live abundantly and happily and joyously and all of those things. Yeah. We forget that. The human ego forgets that. So guys, if you want more Sophia, which I think you should, she has a secret success strategy plan, and it's, I'm going to just put the link in the show notes. It's just easier. But if you'd like to, if they want to reach out to you, what's the best, should they go to your website, email, you tell them, Sophia, what's the best way to get you?
I gave you two links, so they can click the link and then book a call with me, or they can just do sophiawisdom@gmail.com.
sophiawisdom@gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah. So they can do that.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, this way they are not like lost at the website, but they can also get the free lead magnet from the Secret Success Strategy Plan. They can pick up that lead magnet when they click that link as well.
Yes. So I'm going to put the Secret Success Strategy Plan, by the way, I downloaded it. Very cool. Great information and great description of self-love, self-care. So, it's a must read, and it was short. It was an easy read. And I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, you know, it's the light bulb moments where you're like, and that makes sense. Right. So she organized it beautifully for you. And I'll also put the contact information, the link, so that you can schedule with her. It's just too long of a link to say on the show, but I promise I'll put it in the show notes for you guys. Or go to sophiawisdom@gmail.com and you can email Sophia directly. Guys, if you need a little more Connie in your life, which of course I hope you always do, or if you have any questions that possibly I can help you with, whether it's navigating your sales personally for your business, or if you're running a sales team, coaching questions for your team, etc., please reach out to me. Best way, easy peasy, one-stop shop, go to whitmanassos.com. So it's WHITMANASSOC. Everything is there. Resource page, bunch of free downloadables for you. You can navigate and look and check out some of my free stuff. My number one international best-selling book, also there. And the collaborative book, Bright Spots, that I was a part of is also on there. So again, WhitmanAssociates.com. You'll find everything you need. If you want to join me on LinkedIn, Facebook, etc., it's all there. Thank you, Sophia, for being on and taking
thank
the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
But thanks for sharing your journey and your vulnerability with my listeners. I truly do appreciate that. So thanks so much for
thank
that.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure seeing you, my friend. And you, thank you. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. I don't care what change you're going through, we've got your back, right? So my guests, myself, hopefully the tips and ideas that Sophia shared, or even my stories that I've shared, hopefully you pick something up that you could take back, implement in your life immediately, and be able to navigate the change that you're going through. Okay. So, hopefully you use that. Again, please, please don't forget, if you are on YouTube, love me, subscribe to me and review me and comment. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, love a rating, love a review. And I do read the love and I am always appreciative of that. So you've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman on webtalkradio.net. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you again, Sophia. And I wish you my pleasure. And I wish you all a wonderful week where you open your mind to what is possible. Thanks, everybody.